Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
You may be seated tonight. I'm going to go straight in because I know it's been a long week for a lot of people. We always do a Good Friday service, communion service, because we want to remember every aspect of what God has done during this season. We want to remember everything that He has done, from the triumphal entry to the healings that He did, everything that He did during that Passion Week, the teachings that He gave His disciples, all the way down to the cross. And that's why we're here tonight. Sunday, we'll celebrate. Sunday, we will party like there's no tomorrow, because we know that the grave is empty. But tonight, we remember the sacrifice. See, as Jesus hung on the cross, He endured the pain of all of His injuries that He had received over the last 12 to 15 hours. He was betrayed late on Thursday or in the early hours on Friday morning. Scripture tells us that He was crucified around 9 a.m. on our Friday morning. So around 9 a.m. this morning was the hour in which He was pierced through His arms and through his hands and through His feet. It was the time, at that time, that the beatings had finished. The trials, the mockery of a trial was over. And the sentence had been pronounced and it was being carried out. It also says that He died on that cross around 3 p.m. on Friday afternoon. So for 6 hours, He hung, His body aching and probably convulsing at times. The thing about crucifixion is when you're crucified, the blood loss and everything is a big part of it, but your legs are so tired because in pain that you can't stand up. But when you drop down, when you're being crucified, you're unable to breathe. You can bring air in to your lungs, but it's hard to breathe out. So in order to get a good breath, He would have to push up on the nail in His feet, breathe a couple of breaths, and then He would drop back down. For 6 hours on the cross, He was ridiculed and mocked. First by the people and the Pharisees that were from a distance. They mocked Him from a distance that was kept back by the Roman soldiers to make sure that they didn't interfere with their job. There was a truth that was found even in their insults, though, because even as they insulted Jesus on the cross, they used the name Messiah. I find that so not funny, but it's so appropriate that even in their mocking of who He was, they still called Him by His real name. Think about that for a minute. They called Him Messiah. They called Him Chosen One. Yes, they called Him that mockingly. They called Him that sarcastically. But it was still the truth. While insulting and berating Him, they referred to Him as those names and brought truth to what they were saying. The guards themselves were the next group that was a little bit closer to Him. The people were held a good bit away from Him so that they could not interfere with what was going on. And then a little bit closer was the guards. And the guards mocked Him by giving Him vinegar and gall to drink. And they also nailed a sign above His head that said, King of the Jews. Thinking they were insulting Him and insulting the people. But once again, the truth found its way to the lips of the soldiers. That's a powerful thing to think of. In his most painful and misunderstood moment on this earth, he was still called by the rightful name. God made sure of that. The final insults were hurled at him from people that were so close that he could see the eyes of the men that shouted them. It was the criminals that were on either side of him. The two criminals on the crosses next to him, we don't know what they did. We don't know why they were there, or where they were from. We've called them thieves on the cross. I've heard them called insurgents. I've heard them called revolutionaries. We don't know what they did other than make the Roman government mad. Matthew and Mark tell us that both, in their gospels, tell us that both of them yelled insults at Jesus in the accounts of this moment. But something happened somewhere in those 6 hours. Something happened in those 6 hours that changed one of the criminals' minds. One of the criminals apparently saw something or heard something that changed him. Because Luke records a different conversation. Luke records a conversation that we don't know what changed his mind, but he records this conversation like this. In Luke 23, verses 39 through 43, it says, "One of the criminals who were hanged railed against him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ?'" Again, the truth found found its way to the lips of the thief and the criminal. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him. The other corrected him. The other told him, "Shut your mouth. Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then in verse 42 it says, "And this criminal turned and he said, 'Jesus,'" I'm going to come back to that in a minute, because there's something significant about that. "He said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him," Jesus said to him, "'Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise.'" I'm not going to take long. Both men asked for something, but only one received a promise. Think about that. They both shouted. They both asked, "Save me. Save us. Remember me. Don't leave me in the cold." I'm getting ahead of myself. You see, both were in need, but only one was spiritually positioned to receive something from Jesus. The first criminal, it says that he hurled insults at Jesus like the rest of the crowd. The New Living Translation says that he scoffed, sarcastically shouting at Jesus, "Save yourself and us if you are who you say you are." There was no remorse, no declaration of belief, not even a shred of compassion for one who had most likely been much more mistreated than he was. It doesn't say anything about these men being beaten within an inch of their life, but we hear the stories about Jesus. We can go and we can research what it is to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. We know what it's like to be cut to ribbons. We know what it's like to have people grab a hold of a beard and pull it out by the roots, pulling pieces of skin with it. We know about all of that. We know that he had a crown of thorns put on his head, and it was not just gently set there, but they took a scepter and beat it onto his head in order to get it as deep as they could. This man had no remorse and no no compassion for Jesus. But he still used a title and a moniker that was supposed to be a moniker of shame. If you are the Messiah, the truth still came from his lips. Even in his asking to be saved, he shows disbelief with one word, if. That's the first criminal. The second criminal hears all of this and responds in a totally different way. Where there was once hatred and doubt in his heart, you can hear resolve in his voice and in his conversation. And you can see repentance in his actions and in his words. He looks and he scolds the other criminal. Luke 23:40 says, but the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? That one statement said a whole lot about the belief of that criminal. Because I've read over this for years. I've been in ministry 25 years and I never noticed this. In that statement, he equated Jesus with God in that moment. The truth found its way from the lips of a condemned man. And he said, do you not fear God? He's not talking about being afraid of God, but having respect for him and honoring him for who he is. He then admitted his own sin. He admitted he had made mistakes, and he acknowledges Christ's perfection. In Luke 23:41, it says, and we indeed justly, talking about their own deeds, and we indeed justly have received this condemnation. For we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. We deserve what we get. But this man has done nothing. He's telling this man who is spitting on the deity of Christ, hey, you and I deserve what we're getting. Many of us, we look at other people and we say, you know what? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And that's exactly what he's talking about. You get what you deserve. He said, we're getting what we deserve, but this is where we belong. He's done absolutely nothing to warrant this treatment. And here's a very important part. He then turns away from the other criminal and turns his attention to the man on the middle cross and says, Jesus. Why is that so significant, Pastor Aaron? He knew who he was. And he called him by name. I seem to remember a verse in the Bible that says, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think about that. Before there was a Romans road to salvation, before there was an ABC of prayer in order to come to know Christ, before we had a formula down, he knew the first thing he had to do was call on the name of Jesus. He said, Jesus. See, Luke shares this direct interaction with the Savior on the cross. In verse 42, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There's not a hint of mockery or disdain that was heard. Something had changed inside of his mind, inside of his heart, and he knew the only one that could do anything for him was the man that was condemned to die that was on the cross next to him. The last thing he did was he asked to be remembered. And I equate that with saying, Lord, save me. Jesus, save me. Do you remember when you called on his name for the first time? Do you remember when you, and then the next thing you had to say was, all you had to say was, Jesus, forgive me. Save me. When all is said and done, he's looking at him and he's saying, when all is said and done, in Luke 43, verse 43, it says this, and he said to him, truly I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. That's Jesus' reaction. I've got that a little bit early, but I want you to understand this. He asked him to save him, not from physical pain, but from the atrocities that he was having to endure. When this is all said and done, Jesus, when it's all done and you have come to establish your kingdom like you said you would, Jesus, please just remember me. Don't leave me out. Don't leave me in the cold. Don't leave me in the dark. Just remember me. You know, you can look through the Bible and this is the only deathbed salvation in the entire scriptures. The only one. One is enough to give us hope that it is possible. But it also lets us know that not everyone receives that opportunity. We don't know when our last breath will be. And then he receives a promise from Jesus. Verse 43. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today, not years from now, not later on in life, not later on in eternity, but today you will be with me in paradise. That word paradise means in the everlasting presence of God. You see, the reason this is all significant is because God gave us the promise of a Savior. Genesis 3:15 was where he first gave us that promise, where it said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, talking to the snake, and between your offspring and her offspring. You shall bruise his head. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. I like the version that says he shall crush your head. Because that's what Jesus did that day. Was he completely demolished the enemy's plans. Jesus was the promised king that we received that would forever defeat the enemy and provide a way back to God. And then in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, talking to someone, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now Jesus looks at this man next to him on this cross through everything that he is going through, and he thinks this moment is significant enough, it is important enough, it is powerful enough to utter this promise to a stinking, wretched criminal who deserves nothing and utters a promise to him. Jesus says, it's worth me pushing up on the nail in my feet in order for me to get enough breath to say to him and to give him the promise of grace. That's how he looks at us. You're worth the promised grace that he has given us. Verse 43, and he said to him, truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. He promises grace, unmerited favor, something he did not deserve. What I love about this moment is the most powerful thing about this moment, and I never thought about it until this study. The very first person to experience the benefits of the promise of grace. The very first person to experience the salvation under the new covenant, under Jesus' blood, was a criminal who only believed in Jesus in his last moments. I I've heard people say, I've gone too far and I've done too much. I've been running from God too long. He's not, he can't love me. It's not enough. See, when you tell Jesus that his blood isn't enough, you're spitting on the cross. He took a criminal who had never heard him preach, never shook his hand, never experienced one of his miracles, and he promised him grace. He had never done one thing for Jesus. He had never gone out and preached. He had never witnessed. He had never even gone to one of his meetings. He probably had swindled people and done other things that he shouldn't have done. But he had never done one thing for God in his entire life. Yet Jesus looks at him and says, I promise you grace because you're worth it. That same promise is given to us today, and it is what we remember today. That is the promise of his blood. That is the promise of his body. That is the promise of a Savior. Can you just lift your hands and worship?
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong to God.